Hi, welcome to the Rancor's Brothel, issue number 35. I'm your co-host, Matt.
I'm your co-host, Dustin.
For the last time. Oh. No.
No?
All I see is puppies, sued? Like, with one eye. I can't fucking watch that, hear that commercial, that song anymore. That was like our senior class song, wasn't it, Wally?
Yeah, I think it was.
See?
Was it really?
Yeah, special guest star, Wally Miller. Yeah, that was our scene. It was Green Day's Time of Your Life for like three classes before us and like four classes after us. But we had to have Sarah McLachlan year.
Yes.
That's awesome.
I blame the theater department. Bitch of quiz. Dustin, let's get the sad news out of the way here. What is today?
Today is Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
Well, you're a dick because that's in February or January or somewhere. That's not
what
now.
Is today?
Actually, today's today? Pearl Harbor Day, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Is it?
Well, today was that day that
that's
we got
December
bombed.
December 7th, not 17th.
Yes.
Okay.
Today is the 10 days after that day that we got bombed.
Okay, I have a Pearl Harbor story, but not until after you've said what the sad news is.
What is the sad news?
This is your last actual Rancor's Brothel as a regular co-host.
Oh, yeah. This is my last day for a while. Going on sabbatical to get my life doctorate.
Yeah, right. You're not going to come back. I know you.
I
You're
going
to move on to something else newer and cooler.
Some other cooler podcast?
Yeah, you big prick.
I won't.
Fucking liar. Anyway.
What?
No, Pearl Harbor story. So, almost got kicked out of Pearl Harbor through no fault of my own. My marching band in high school, every 3 years, they take a trip to Hawaii so that everybody gets to go, right? And you go to the tour at Pearl Harbor, and you know they have somebody that survived. At the time they did, I don't think there's that many left now, but at the time they'd have somebody that survived the attack on Pearl Harbor was there narrating a movie that you're all watching, just to kind of show the time lapse of how fast everything occurred. So fucking, I can remember the faces of the people that did it. And I think Joe Snyder, I think you were in on this because I know you listened to the show and I know you were there. But a couple of the guys just busted out laughing in the middle of it. And, of course they all got in trouble, but they were going to throw the entire band out of Pearl Harbor. And what had occurred was the reason they started laughing, like, it's very sad, this video, right? I mean, you're hearing this horrible story from a survivor, but when they're talking about bombs, you know, they refer to them by their payloads, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So when the guy says that the Japanese, dropped a 14-inch payload or dropped a 14-inch load on the deck. See, how are you not supposed to laugh when you're
I totally laugh.
So
I'd get kicked out of that place so fast.
Yeah. So those guys lost it. the load
awesome.
Penetrated the first three levels of the deck and like, oh my God, that's so much poop. Oh no. So the Japanese,
they call the ship
the vengeance. Calls the shit. Bless your heart, sir.
Oh, just amazing.
For the last time, as of yet, because I don't believe you that you're coming back. Dustin.
Yes.
What's the first thing we do?
We do guest questions.
Guest questions to Wally!
All right.
I've known since 1995-ish? 94,
yeah,
95? 94,
95-ish, yeah.
There you go.
You think you'll be able to guess his answers?
No, God, no. I know when you say, what superhero would you want to be, he's going to be like, The Rock.
The Rock? Really?
Yeah.
It's awesome.
My prediction.
I like Wally already.
What's your favorite superpower? People's elbow.
Stone Cold Stunner. The ability to run to the ring and just knock people down like nobody's business.
Fucking A, man. Oh, shit, I've been recording any of this. We got to start over.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. I was hoping to get a better rise out of you. Never mind. Keep guess questions. I want to edit that joke out because that didn't work at all.
Wally.
Yes.
Who's your favorite superhero and why?
My favorite superhero, now after getting back into comics from listening to Rancor's Brothel and Mad Chat.
Oh, awesome.
I love Wally.
I would have to say Rocket Raccoon.
Fucking A. What the fuck?
Very cool. Why is your favorite?
In the newest version of Guardians of the Galaxy on Marvel Now, he is so arrogant and smart alecky.
Mm-hmm. He's like a little tiny Deadpool, isn't
yes,
he?
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
He is kind of like Deadpool, but he makes the smartest Earthling, Tony Stark, seem like he knows nothing about tech, and he is the most tech-savvy superhero there is. And
well, let's not split hairs here, but I believe in the Marvel Universe, Reed Richards is the smartest
human being. Yes,
I'm just saying.
But yeah, his...
Oh, man.
They actually have them all ranked. I know 1 through 8.
But yeah, I would have to go with Rocket.
Very cool.
That is probably the most original answer that we will ever get on this fucking show.
Yeah, I think so.
So, kudos to you. Are you excited for Guardians of the Galaxy then?
Yes, I am.
Who's voicing Rocket Raccoon? Does anybody remember?
Bradley Cooper.
Bradley Cooper, okay.
That'll be good. He'll do a good job.
Yeah.
I want to see a couple stills of him. I want to see what they're doing design-wise. Besides that, you know, there was that one sketch that we all got from Comic-Con 2 years ago.
Yes.
I want to see where they've developed him from that point. I want to see how this little anthropomorphic fucking raccoon is going to work. So, I don't know.
Wally.
Yes.
If you could have one superpower, what would it be and why?
One superpower. I would have to go with...
Tombstone?
Yes, no, but no, not the tombstone. Probably telekinesis.
Telekinesis?
See, yes. that's a scary one. That's the one I don't think I would ever do. I don't know. What would you do with your telekinesis? Would you, like, blow skirts up past the knees, or...?
You know, I like to be lazy, so I could just sit there and bring things to me.
Yeah, I think if I had telekinesis, I'd be dead within a year. Yeah. From, like, I'd have atrophied every muscle I have. No, like, I just, like, if you get in an argument with your wife, okay? And you're like, she's like, Wally, take the trash out. And you're like, God damn it, I just did that. Ba-boom, her head explodes.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, your imagination.
Could possibly just lose control of
yeah.
it and see it going haywire.
Then you'd be the Dark Phoenix Wally. Yes. I bet you wouldn't get the sex
Dark Phoenix Wally.
The Dark yeah. Phoenix Wally, yes.
Gross. Yeah, I'm picturing Wally in tights.
Yay.
And I like it. You hear that, America? Okay, sorry. Third question?
Third question is usually a random question unrelated to anything else. So I'm going to say...
Does the carpet match the curtains?
When you go to the mall, what is your favorite store to go into? And what store do you hate, absolutely hate going into? And why?
Okay, I'll start with the store that I absolutely hate to go into is okay. Old Navy.
Okay.
And it is
just a bunch of pretentious sons of bitches.
Yeah, and if I even wanted to buy any of their clothes, they are discriminative to bigger guys.
Oh, yeah.
Unless you're wanting a large t-shirt, you can't shop there.
No, I mean, even I'm a fairly smaller guy, and their sizes never are right. They're either way too small or way too big, or like they don't have a consistent, size range.
Yeah,
not at all.
Okay. I do buy my underwear from Old Navy, but I have to order it off the internet. They go up to XXX in the boxers, but damn it, those are the most comfortable, durable boxers a fat guy can get.
The Old Navy boxers?
Mm-hmm. Unless you want to pay Duluth Trading Company prices, and I just can't afford that shit.
Yeah.
I like it.
So, now what's the favorite store?
Favorite store? Cinnabon.
Oh, love it. That's a great answer. I did not expect
Cinnabon, because there aren't very many left.
There's just the one in Circle Center.
There's Circle Center.
Is there Castleton? Does Castleton have one?
You know, when you look online, they still say Lafayette Square has one, but
bullshit.
Why they would have it, because there's nothing else in there.
Okay,
except for a Burlington Coat Factory.
There's the Fifth Hat World is there. Okay, so... In my quest for replacing Hostess products when Hostess was off the market,
yes.
Mrs. Freshley's makes a Cinnabon cinnamon roll, okay? And it's, you know, it's a overprocessed, prepackaged cinnamon roll, but it's tasty. I got one the other day, and I had a coupon. It has a coupon for $1 off a Cinnabon. And I'm like, that makes a Cinnabon like $2. It's awesome. Yeah. It's like, fuck, when am I going to fucking find a Cinnabon? So if I find a Cinnabon by January 14th, I've got a dollar off coupon saved in my car just for it, so I'm excited. I gotta go to the mall sometime. Well, even go to Cinnabon?
Sure.
All right, fuck this podcast. We're out. Deuces.
Oh, come pick me up.
You are totally
all the way on the other
side
of town.
The mall.
All right, well, I'll meet you there.
Okay, bye. All right, good. Very good, gentlemen. What do we want to talk about next, sir?
I think it's Discount X-Men next.
I believe so. Wally, okay. Did you bring anything to the table? Did you think about something?
I tried to think of a Discount X-Men.
Until you get into the mood of it, it's hard to do.
Could not really think of a good one that was worth sharing.
Every time I come up with one, it's literally something that's on the desk around me, except for Sparkle Poos, because there was no Sparkle Poos on my desk.
That's how I came up with the one I have for tonight. I looked at something around me.
Well, let me start with a preface here. I have an addendum to last week's to Sparkle Poos. If you recall, I'd asked you the question if you would be okay with eating another man's shit.
Yeah.
With no caveats. If it was, you know, looked like rainbows and was glittery and magical and it tasted delicious.
Yeah.
The only way to eat it for nutrition and to get the good taste and smell is to place your lips directly on his anus and he has to shit directly into your mouth.
And okay, does his anus, does anus still smell and taste like an anus?
No. It's a Sparkle Poo anus. Oh, but well, just, your mouth just like, is on another man's asshole.
I mean, that's just taking it right out of the tap. I'm cool with that. That's not a problem.
Mm. But here's the thing. It's only Sparkle Poo's glittery and rainbowy when he's pooping directly into your mouth. So when he's pooping, like, not, you know, I don't want to say pleasure, but like, or recreation, but just purposeful pooping, it's still brown, nasty shit.
Okay, so like you're
there
you're
might drinking be smearage. Like, what if he pooped earlier that day and didn't wipe properly, and it's a hot day, and he's kind of sweaty, got some mud.
That's why I asked. That's why I asked. Like, if I mean, if his anus is there a chance at all of it smelling or tasting like an anus, then I'm not going to do it. I'll starve.
You'll starve to death rather than eat poop out of somebody's butt.
Well, actual poop.
I was beginning to think you
rainbow poop.
I was going to start calling you Daredevil because you were the man without fear last week. So,
well, I mean, there were caveats like. If it doesn't taste or smell like actual poop, then it's, to me, it is not necessarily poop.
All right. Second question.
What?
You've got ball cancer.
Okay.
You've got the end stage level of ball cancer. They are coming off, both of them. And they're for good measure, they have to remove your dick and your prostate. Okay?
Okay.
But by some fluke random series of events, poop directly from my butt, regular poop, will cure your ball cancer.
Like, but what do I have to do with the regular poop?
You have to eat it directly from my butt. One time. One time only. A full load.
Mm.
And you have to do your best to keep it down.
And it'll cure my ball cancer?
It will cure your ball cancer. You will never get ball cancer again.
Is this pre or post kids?
This is Dustin right now.
Oh, man, I would eat your poop.
Well, I've got some bad news. I intercepted a letter from your doctor, and I need you to come over to my house right now. Because I had tacos tonight, and we're ready to go.
You know how I know that's a lie? I don't even go to the doctor.
Doctors are for pussies and old men.
Yeah, and people with ball cancer.
Dustin, you're such a good friend. What? I would shit in your mouth to save your balls, just so you know.
Well, that's really nice of you.
Nobody took into account how I would feel in this scenario, and I just want to let you know it's okay.
No. I know that would be a really uncomfortable situation.
Not for every Lance Armstrong on the streets, okay? I'm just, like, for Dustin, I'd poop in your mouth for you.
Matt, that's really sweet.
I feel so much closer to you now. Hold me.
Well, you should with your anus on my lips.
You'd rusty trombone me too, I bet. Give me the jerk.
You're curing my cancer. Of course I'm going to give you the old...
The old heave-ho, the old slap and pickle. Okay,
great. Fap, fap, fap.
All right, Dustin, what's your discount X-Men, man?
Well, much less vulgar than our current conversation. His name is the Human Pretzel.
Okay.
And you would think, you know, hearing that name, you'd think, oh, this guy's got to be, you know, like super flexible or something. No, his body just turns into a pretzel.
I don't get it.
I mean, his whole body, it's his form, but he turns into like a salted pretzel. Like his whole body,
size
like,
pretzel.
And he can't move it. He can't move at all. I mean, he just turns into a human-sized, human-shaped pretzel that can be eaten.
Is this
no
a one-time
human
use
body
X-Man?
Parts are left. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So is he aware of his powers? Like,
well, I mean,
Professor
Xavier
told him what would happen.
Right, right. That's why we have Discount Professor X. So, Logan.
Brogan. So would he? I mean, like, would he have like an innate fear of mustard? Or like cheese dipping sauce?
I bet so.
Or like, would he be at the stand at the mall where they make the Auntie Anne's and he just sit outside crying?
Well, I mean, he doesn't sit outside crying. He sits outside and wonders why he's so, like, you know, it kind of makes him, it brings him down. It makes him a little depressed.
His mother's name is Anne Wetzel. That's where the mutation came from.
She made love to a radioactive pretzel.
Well, no, Ann Wetzel, there's Wetzel's pretzels and there's Auntie Anne's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Yeah, I didn't think you got it. Sorry.
I did.
I just
you got it.
Hey, you got any gum?
Hey. Yeah. You got any gum?
Okay. Sorry, Wally. So here's when we play the game where I look around at something. Okay, and Teddy Barrow. No, I got nothing. Fuck it. Discount X-Men. I have a strong feeling that Discount X-Men might die with you when you leave.
Really? That's sad.
It was always your thing.
Well, I'm sure, like, if you have, like, Britton on as a co-host, I mean, he'll have some, and you know, Flowers, I'm sure, will have some, and
all right,
you're going to do this rotating co-host thing.
All right, then, as I'm Kelly Ripa-ing it, all you guys out there in listener land, is you're going to come in and help co-host. If you bring a Discount X-Men with you, we will do the segment, just so you know.
I got to say, your ass way better than Kelly Ripa's.
Thank you. I've been working out. Especially since my ass cures ball cancer.
You better be working that shit out. Oh, literally.
I'm a zing.
I love it.
Star Wars Minute.
Yeah.
I have nothing prepared this week.
Okay.
You have any Star Wars questions?
What is the most worthless ship in Star Wars?
I always hated the B-Wings. I thought it looked stupid. I don't know. Okay. Is that all?
Yeah. Well, I mean, what's the fastest ship in the universe?
I don't know if you heard of the Millennium Falcon. It does 0.5 past light speed.
I'm sure there's some.
Okay, the fastest ship in the universe, as I recall, is a Sith. Some nerd's gonna punch me in the throat. A Sith. It's like a Sith training sphere.
Mm-hmm.
It is a cybernetic ship, or like a cyborg ship, kind of. Like, it's half alive and half machine, and it's Force-sensitive. Okay. So you actually drive it with the Force. And, like, instead of having lasers and blasters and shit, you shoot projectiles using the Force. But
why did I not know of this ship? I mean, because I don't know a whole lot about Star Wars.
Yeah.
Like, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's almost like a railgun that's activated by the Force. So it shoots these projectiles out. They're just like cannonballs, but it shoots them out at almost the speed of light.
Yeah.
So it, you know, rips a hole through fucking pretty much anything.
I feel like there's, like, more people should be talking about this ship. Like, does it have a small role in the universe?
Yeah. I mean, in the current stories it does. Because Ben Skywalker, Luke's son, ends up being able to drive it for a while as he's apprenticed to Darth Cadus, which is Jason Solo. He doesn't know that Jason's a Sith. He doesn't understand that Ben doesn't understand that Ben's been using the dark side of the Force. He didn't think that Jason would be teaching him something that horrible. And so the ship actually ends up finding him. The ship had been lost in space for like 25,000 years, and it was drawn to Ben Skywalker because it sensed the dark side being used.
So when you say lost in space, it was just like unmanned and just floating in space.
Yeah, it was like hibernating.
Okay, cool.
So yeah, but I believe that is one of the fastest ships on record.
Yeah, we should definitely put that
in the universe
to our listeners. I'm sure, like, especially guys like Kurt Waywood might.
Kurt would definitely know. Kurt, is it the Sith training sphere or the Sith apprenticeship or something like that? I know that it goes by the name ship. You can actually communicate with it through the Force.
That's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, like, eloquent or anything. It doesn't, like, speak in actual words and phrases, but it makes its intentions known to you.
Right.
So, I think Sith training sphere I'm going with. And that's how, do you remember me telling you about how there's the lost planet of the Sith, where there's a whole planet full of them that crash-landed a couple thousand years ago?
Right.
That ship is how they get off the planet, because then it senses them after it leaves Ben Skywalker. And so that's how a few of them are able to get off planet and get, you know, what they need to get the rest of them off.
Right.
So there you go.
Cool.
That's a pretty pivotal role, I think, for a fucking inanimate object that can think.
Well, yes.
So pretty cool.
Awesome.
Wally, any Star Warsiness from you? You like the wars, don't you, buddy?
Yeah, I do. Since it is Christmas time.
Are you going to talk about
the special?
Yeah, the Christmas special. Dustin, have you ever seen the Star Wars Christmas special?
I have not. Like, is it cartoony or is it a...
No,
it is a very cheaply made live action with most of the stars from the original.
Oh, the actual actors and actresses? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
It was one of the first official Star Wars spinoffs. It came out in 1978.
Yeah.
So when did... A New Hope came out in 77? Was it earlier than that?
Was it 77 or was it 76?
Fuck. Oh my god. I gotta turn in all my nerd cred. Shit. Cashing it in right now because I'm Googling it.
Okay. You sound like me not knowing the size of a professional wrestling ring last week. I felt like an idiot. I guess that is true.
Okay, no. Star Wars A New Hope, 1977. So this is between A New Hope and Empire, and it's called the Star Wars Holiday Special because clearly they don't have Jesus, so there's no Christmas. But the way the story goes, they have to get Chewbacca back to Kashyyyk for like his day of life or something.
Life day.
It's like his birthday or whatever. And they're being pursued by the Empire and everything. You end up meeting Chewie's family. But the real funny thing is the whole thing's on YouTube. It's like 40 minutes long. It plays out. The opening plays like a 1970s fucking like Christmas special, with Dean Martin and, you know, all those guys. They'll be like, the announcer's like, and featuring Chewbacca's son, Lumpy. And then, you know, like, it there's like a cutout of a star, and then there's the face of Lumpy in it going, so funny. So fucking funny.
Awesome.
But yeah, okay, let's see. The program features many characters had Luke Skywalker, C-3PO, R2-D2, Darth Vader, and Princess Leia, who sings the film's theme song set to the music of John Williams' Star Wars theme near the end. Oh. So she's like, Star Wars, Star Wars. I don't know if that's verified. It also features a cartoon that officially introduced the bounty hunter Boba Fett into the Star Wars universe, because as you recall, he doesn't come around until Empire Strikes Back. What do you think of that?
So that was like maybe his first appearance?
That was his first appearance in the Star Wars universe.
And it's bootlegs of it are available. Wow. You can find it on YouTube. That's where I watched it.
So they put him in the Christmas episode, and holiday then they liked special. Him so much. Sorry, holiday special, and then they liked him so much that they continued him.
Blame
you. Or, I don't know. Hey, understand.
Dustin?
Yeah.
So, you know, breaking the fourth wall here, guys, of the podcast, we use Skype, as always, for potting. Dustin moved his laptop around and he got himself situated so that we can clearly see just his hands. And he is playing Xbox One. He's playing Assassin's Creed 4 while podcasting.
Uh-huh.
Which is probably why he wasn't paying that close of attention. And that's probably why we got Pretzel Man, ship, guys. Or whatever.
This is serious stuff.
Dustin, you magnificent bastard. You know what? It's your last day at work. It's not like we can fire you, so
yeah.
You enjoy yourself, sir.
Only on the Raycor's brothel. Acceptable behavior.
Christ. Oh, that's funny, dude. But yeah, everybody... This plays in perfectly to what our theme is today, because we are going to be talking about Christmas specials. That's our geek out today. So I guess the Star Wars Holiday Special will be our number one on the list, huh? So check it out. You can get it on, like I said, on YouTube.com. Since Disney took over, we were in Disney's Money Hungry. A couple people have expressed that perhaps on a future Blu-ray release that they might put this in as an Easter egg.
Yes.
Which would be kind of cool. So, yeah, make some money, Disney. You know, even if you just put this out there, on fucking regular DVD, you'll still make a couple mil off of it. So, whatever. You'll make enough to keep Walt Disney's head frozen for another couple decades.
All right,
Dustin, I need you to pause your game, because you got to get out the fight list.
Oh, yeah.
Dustin, I want you to pick a character with no special powers.
Well, we all, as individuals, have our own special powers.
Yes, we all have our kung fu, but what I'm saying is... No superpowers.
Okay. Man, I instantly went to, like, one of the guys from Assassin's Creed, but I shouldn't. Because they do technically have superpowers, like Eagle Vision and stuff. So we're talking straight human.
Well, you could be gay. We're not bigots here.
Did you just... What? What?
You said straight human, and I was like, I mean...
Oh, okay, gotcha.
I don't like to put labels on humans. People, Dustin. I'm not really comfortable with that. I mean, you know... 21st century and all. Can you move the camera away from your crotch? Like, all I can see is your fucking, the mound of your dick. God, shut the fucking, oh my god, he's unzipping. He's unzipping. Here's one for the ladies. Okay, who'd you pick, buddy?
Man, that's tough.
Okay, well, while you're thinking of it, Wally, pick a number between 1 and 20.
7.
It went with the age of his daughter. Go for it.
Oh, what's 7? Oh, my goodness. Oh, Tatooine? Have we done Tatooine?
We have done Tatooine.
Okay.
So just go to the top of the reserve list. What's number 1 on the reserve list?
Skywalker Ranch.
Okay, well, that's ironic. Okay, yeah. Skywalker Ranch. And Dustin, did you come up with somebody yet?
I think I did. Don't technically have any superpowers. So I'm going to go with Mysterio.
Mysterio from Spider-Man?
Rey Mysterio from WWE.
Oh, okay. Because Mysterio from Spider-Man doesn't really have any powers either. He wears a fucking fishbowl for a hat. Okay. And Rey Mysterio is going to be fighting on a parcel of land that Skywalker, that Lucas bought in September 1978 for about 3,000 acres of land.
He did it.
Oh, no,
with
a fellow
named Joseph Campbell.
What?
He did an interview with a guy named Joseph Campbell.
Okay, so he has, actually, it's over 4,700 acres out in, where is it at? I know it's in California. Let's see, near Nicasio, California in Marin County. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you picked Rey Mysterio to be versus, are you ready?
Okay.
Theodore Roosevelt.
Two people I've never put together in my brain at the same time.
Absolutely.
Oh my goodness.
So.
Theodore Roosevelt.
Okay. Theodore Roosevelt. Teddy Roosevelt. Wally picked Skywalker Ranch. So we're in the woods, essentially. We're in some pine forest. There's
Sounds
some
like Roosevelt.
What?
Roosevelt has the upper hand. He's a hunter, right?
Yeah. Roosevelt is such a hunter that, I mean, if it wasn't for he started over half of the national forests and parks that we have today, just so he would have somewhere to go hunting, which is funny. Awesome. Also, little known fact: Teddy Roosevelt believed in Bigfoot. He said he had an encounter with one.
So I would say that he's out in these woods looking for Bigfoot.
Well, then he'd probably be in the Pacific Northwest where Bigfoot lives. But I mean,
Thanks,
we can go with California. Okay, whatever.
Oh shit!
You'd be ignorant of Bigfoot, motherfucker. Jesus.
I'm ignorant of a lot of things.
Okay, what's Rey Mysterio like? What's he into? What's he do? Wally,
don't be ignorant of Rey Mysterio, Matt.
Rey Mysterio is very, very agile, very quick.
He's got a lot of heart. He's great with the kids in the crowd.
Yes, very.
That's really going to help him in the woods against an armed Teddy Roosevelt.
But yeah, he definitely is very agile. He's small. If needed to hide, he could easily do so. He is a Hispanic. I don't know. That might help him one way or another.
I think in Southern California, it might help him a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, he's gonna be more.
He could blend in if he could make it to a highway.
Yeah.
He's like, hey man, which way is home, man? Sorry.
Now he is from.
He doesn't talk like that.
Yeah, he is from San Diego, also.
Well, there you go. Okay. So he does know the area.
Yes, he should be familiar with the area.
Okay, so good deal.
Sorry, I'm looking up something that I wanted to bring up about Teddy Roosevelt. Oh, shit. Where's it at? Pause. Pause recording. Okay, let me try this again.
I think that considering... well, I guess I could bring it up when we are recording.
Okay. I just want to point this out for you real quick here. This is what Rey Mysterio is up against. Not only is the man a hunter, he knows the outdoors. He knows how to stay up wind of his prey and to track for days on end using minimal food and water. During a stop in Milwaukee on his 1912 Bull Moose campaign for the presidency, Roosevelt was shot at close range by John Schrank, a psychotic New York saloon keeper. Schrank had his .38 caliber pistol aimed at Roosevelt's head, but a bystander saw the gun and deflected Schrank's arm just as the trigger was pulled. Roosevelt did not realize he was hit until someone noticed a hole in his overcoat.
Holy shit. He got shot and didn't even know it?
Yeah, this is like Chuck Norris shit. When Roosevelt reached inside his coat, he found blood on his fingers. Roosevelt was extremely lucky. He had the manuscript of a long 50-page speech in his coat pocket folded in two, and the bullet was no doubt slowed as it passed through it. He also had a steel spectacle case in his pocket, and the bullet traversed this too, before entering Roosevelt's chest near the right nipple. Thus, one could say Roosevelt's long-windedness and myopia saved his life. But what I'm not seeing written here... Oh my god, he can't... Okay, sorry. Blah, 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 blah. He actually then went on to read the speech.
That's crazy.
He got shot in the chest, and he stood there and read a 50-page speech.
Oh, that's insane.
Yeah, so look out, Rey Mysterio. Roosevelt's coming for you. You know what? He wasn't that big on immigration either. I'm just kidding. I don't know about that. Actually, I think he was pretty good with it, since like that was when everybody immigrated to America, pretty much in the Roosevelt years. Dustin, are we just going to give this up to Teddy?
I don't want to.
Then fight! Fight, man! Like, this is your last time to fight!
You, like, Teddy Roosevelt is, like you said, he's long-winded, right? I mean, he's, well, not long-winded, but like he's a heavy guy. I don't think he's going to be able to chase Rey Mysterio down by any means. He could possibly try and take him down by gun, but I feel like Rey Mysterio is going to be small enough and agile enough to hide just about anywhere in the woods if he needed to.
If this motherfucker shoots antelopes in Africa, I think he could handle a fucking Mexican in the woods.
Jesus.
I'm just saying.
Rey Mysterio is quite familiar with disguises and costumes. Like, with what?
I thought you were going to say antelopes. I'm sorry.
No, yeah. Rey Mysterio, he has an antelope farm in his hometown.
Weird. Weird.
Bought a lot of land with antelopes. Antelopes. Oh, boy.
I love antelopes. They're my favorite animal.
I'm just going to go with the, to help myself decide who would win, I'm going to go with the six characteristics of a role player, or like a role playing character. We're going to go with dexterity. Rey Mysterio has it. Intelligence, I would probably give that to Roosevelt.
Probably give it to Roosevelt.
Strength. Rey Mysterio could very well be a very smart dude. Have you seen? I mean, he speaks very, very well in his documentary.
Okay.
Behind the Masked Man.
Just saying, if he was that smart, he'd be the president of the United States. Go ahead.
Not every super smart person is president of the United States. That's not like the next step. You know? Oh man, I'm super duper smart. Better be the president.
Well, that's what I feel my knocking up.
Let's see, wisdom. I don't know. Like, I'm gonna give that a tie. Rey Mysterio actually is very, very like entwined, like with like his culture and like the history of his peoples. So I'm willing to bet a lot of wisdom comes along with that.
Probably a similar amount of wisdom that comes from being the president of the United States of America.
Being the president doesn't make you a great man. Being a great man makes you the president.
Okay, well, either way, he did both of those things, so.
I hate you.
you kind of just proved part of my point there, buddy.
Oh, shit.
Son of a bitch.
Where are we? We have... Strength, Roosevelt has it probably. Strength, dexterity, wisdom, intelligence, charisma. I'm saying Rey Mysterio definitely has charisma.
Yeah, I'm saying, you know, the president does too.
You can't just keep bringing it up just because he's the president.
He was the most charming president we have ever had. At least, didn't die in office.
Like, didn't the American peoples love Kennedy? He was very charismatic.
He was. As I finished my sentence, I said he was the most charming president we've ever had that didn't die in office. Like Kennedy.
Kennedy didn't die in office. Wow. He died in a car.
Okay. You know what? Let's call Rey Mysterio the winner.
Yes!
Let's let that be your parting gift. My dear,
I don't
want
it to be a gift or shit.
well, he ain't gonna win this argument with logic. It's fucking Teddy Roosevelt.
You were just gonna make Teddy win anyway.
I was gonna make what?
You were just gonna say Teddy was gonna win anyway. Because he's the president. The president always wins.
I'm sorry. I mean, do you think a guy that was you know, military trained and a hunter's entire life is going to let a fucking wrestler get close enough to use a move on him, he's going to blast the guy.
He's not going to use, like, a professional wrestling move on him.
Yeah, well, I'm
sure Rey Mysterio can at least fight.
Well, that's fine, but he can't fight a bullet. You ever tried to punch a bullet? It sucks.
You've tried to punch a bullet?
No, I'm just going off of my use of logic, my wisdom, if you will.
Yeah.
That I would keep when I become president.
Punching a bullet is probably a lot different than being shot in the hand with a bullet.
Well, yeah, one of them you're trying to hit the bullet, so you win.
Yeah.
One of them comes with a little victory. One of them just comes with pain.
In this environment and setting, Roosevelt has it.
Oh, no, no, you don't have to give up now. You want to keep fighting, it's okay.
No, let's move on.
You're like, no, fuck you, man.
Fucking quit this show. I'm going to say that more often this episode.
Oh, my God. Okay, then the versus is over. Teddy Roosevelt has it.
Barely.
I only picked Teddy Roosevelt because earlier when we were doing the Discount X-Men, I said Teddy Barrow because there's a teddy bear next to me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, teddy bears were named after Teddy Roosevelt. So, there you go. That's his finishing move. That's his fatality. A bunch of teddy bears come out from under the woodworks and they maul his enemy.
Hey,
with the cutest teeth. That's not a superpower.
Horseshit. If you have a bunch of teddy bears that come out of you to kill someone.
I didn't say come out of him. I said they come out of the woodwork. Like they're all hiding.
So it's still like he has the ability to like mentally communicate with said teddy bears.
Okay, I'll take it back.
Yeah.
He'll just kill Rey Mysterio with a gun, not mauling teddy bears.
What makes you think Rey Mysterio can't use a gun and isn't an avid hunter?
You know what?
Rey Mysterio is friends with Stone Cold Steve Austin, who is an avid hunter.
Okay.
Austin would have been there in the woods, like, sniping Roosevelt. Roosevelt would have been down before he even had a chance.
I guess you should have picked fucking Stone Cold Steve Austin then, shouldn't you? But you picked Rey Mysterio.
I'm saying, like, we're using all of our resources here, right? Because if he can pull all these resources from being the president...
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Well, then you know what? The president declares war on Rey Mysterio. The National Guard shows up and nukes the place. Fuck it. I win.
And nukes the place? So Rey, like...
takes out all of California just to defeat Rey Mysterio.
Is Roosevelt still in California?
No, of course not.
So he just gets,
he got
like,
in his motorcade out and went away.
The motorcade is going to drive into the woods and pick him up.
They're at Skywalker Ranch. There is a driveway there.
But you said we're out in the woods.
Well, yeah, but he can make it back to the house. Come on.
Was he going to run?
It's not rocket surgery.
What's next?
Dustin.
What?
Let's talk about Christmas specials. Sorry for interrupting this wonderful Follow Networks podcast, but I just wanted to make sure and get our advertiser in here before we move on to the next segment. So, everybody, welcome back to our show, Shotgun Andy.
Hey, y'all, come on down to Shotgun Andy's Redneck Emporium. Xmas is just around the corner, and I know all you lazy beer-drinking types, like myself, have yet to wrangle up all those Xmas gifts for your family and friends. Well, on the eve of Xmas Eve, we're cutting all our prices. Come on down to Shotgun Andy's Low Low Xmas Prices Emporium, where you'll carry out all kinds of stuff, like cat whistles, pogo sticks, splitting malls, ferret cages, those fancy reindeer antlers for your car windows, bouncy balls, 30 packs of beer, duck calls, camo overalls, duck call camo overalls, ham, Tidy Whiteys, Long Johns, Dukes of Hazzard Spittoon, Flowers, Lucas, Dirty 30s of Peeber, Keystone Light, and Natty Ass, vintage copies of She Thinks My Tractor Sexy Quarterly, a new bumper for the old Chevy, new tractor battery, a goat, a bucket of pig slop, hose, Duck Dynasty t-shirt, miscellaneous Larry the Cable Guy items, new pitchfork, new shovel, new cattle prod, the Cowbrain Smasher thing from No Countries for Old Men's, the genuine sledgehammer that broke the Texas rattlesnake's back, signed by Jim Ross himself, Duck Dynasty nativity set, carton of Pall Malls, beer can chandelier, possum call, the complete blue collar comedy tour on VHS, morning after wire coat hangers, honey boo boo easy bake meth lab, hottie hot toddies, blazing orange hunting cap, Jude Law's baby, nativity set with Jude Law's baby, saw those at Walmart last night, six, count them, six gently used Nintendo 64s, Randy from the Target up the road got his calculator out, turns out that's a Nintendo 384, At Shotgun Andy's Workshop and Beerporium, our top toyologists have been studying the toys of the past to bring you the toys of the future. This Xmas 2013 line includes Mr. Tater, Mr. Tater Face, Tween Handicap Kung Fu Turtles, G.I. Jim, Hot Tires, Timmy the Train Engine, He-Man, that shit's just awesome, Remote Control Tractors, Tick Man and His Amazing Friends, Mighty Morphin Power Green Berets, and the SEAL Team 6 action figures with real Osama Bin Laden head exploding action, Jeff Foxworthy Christmas CD, Larry the Cable Guy's Christmas CD, all kinds of bumper hitch protectors, like Ford, GM, Mopar, Dodge, Sheep, Tractor, Megan Fox bent over a Camaro, and Tomato from Cars. All kinds of taxidermized animals, nearly refurbished appliances, slightly used sex toys for the ladies, rusted tools, bits of used fishing line, Jason Bateman cardboard stand-ups, Kids Can Meet Santa played by Randy from Target Up the Road. Don't you laugh, Randy, you know I'm dressing you up. Only from noon to 6, before he starts drinking again. You can try out our new reindeer shooting range. You can get your I Support Phil Robertson's Freedom of Speech, So Shut Your Damn Mouth t-shirts, underoos, kangaroos, Bonnaroo, baby roos, Ant-Man, waffle irons, books, just kidding, and all the popcorn and free frog legs you can eat. So go ahead and come on down to Shotgun Andy's, where our Santa doesn't need cookies and milk. He's just fine with a beer and a Twinkie, and we're proud to say that not one of his warrants concerns children.
What are those?
That's what we're talking about tonight.
Well, I'm saying, tell me about them, dick.
Oh, fucker. Okay, well, Christmas specials.
Leading you.
Thank you for the transition.
You're welcome.
My defensiveness didn't allow me to let you do.
Future co-hosts, take notes.
I have
this is how you do it.
A list of some of my favorite Christmas specials. Some of them are, like, it's not the holiday season if I don't watch some of these things.
Yeah.
Dustin, do you have something like that? I'm trying to think of how to phrase this here. A Christmas special that, like, it just makes it Christmas for you. Like, you could watch it in July and you're in that Christmas mood. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's gotta be probably not necessarily a Christmas special. It's a Christmas movie.
What is it?
That's what I'm talking about today.
Well, I'm counting movies. I'm counting movies as a part of this.
Okay. Well, then A Christmas Story.
Okay.
No, you'll shoot your eye out, kid.
I fucking didn't put that on my list, and that's totally true. What the fuck is wrong with me?
That is like probably my top Christmas movie.
Very good. Do you watch that every year?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a story? Do you like remember watching that with your mom when you were a little kid or something?
Nope, just a good movie.
Okay, well.
Like, as far as Christmas memories go, I mean.
What makes it Christmas for you, Dustin?
When I was younger, we made those, there's like. A special way to bake gingerbread cookies, but it like preserves them so you can turn them into ornaments.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're like starchy and like salty. They don't try to eat them. It's bad news. I remember making those and hanging them up on the tree. Like one year we did like the popcorn strands to wrap around the tree, the popcorn tinsel. I would say coming home from my grandma's house after Christmas, or like on Christmas Eve, to see most of the presidents presents already under the tree.
Was Teddy Roosevelt there? Was he hiding in the tree with a gun?
He was, but Rey Mysterio had him in a wicked headlock, and he was tapping out instantly. Nice. Rey Mysterio isn't really known for his headlock, but I bet he's pretty good at it. Where was I going with that? Oh, like what we would do is we would be at our grandma and grandpa's house for Christmas or for Christmas Eve. And one of the older kids would come back to the house and put all the Christmas presents under the tree. And so we would have to get home and see all the presents and then go to bed, which was much more excruciating than waiting, you know, to get up in the morning.
Oh, no.
Because we know how many are down there, like how big they are, how many you have, how many your siblings have. You just got to lay in bed all night, like wide-eyed. Or you could go downstairs and slowly peel the tape off and find out what they are, which I did.
In my house, Santa Claus never wrapped his presents, so, like, he would take the time to set them all up, you know, and they were ready to be played with. So, like, in the morning, you run into the living room, and boom, there's all these awesome toys sitting out ready for you to play with. They got all that fucking stickers and bells and whistles on them and everything. And it turns out that was the perfect idea, because then my parents could sleep for another 2 hours. They didn't have a screaming kid like, wake up, we got open presents.
That is actually a really good idea. That's perfect.
Oh, yeah, that is.
Yeah. That's how Santa does it here at the Etter household.
Very cool.
Yeah. Wally, what about you? What Christmas What's that number one Christmas special before we get into the whole conversation?
Now, are you going with actual Christmas special
or Christmas movie?
Either or.
Whatever gets you in the season, you know?
You know, there's so many different versions of A Christmas Carol.
Mm-hmm.
By far my favorite one.
If you say Mickey, I'll hug you.
30th anniversary Mickey this year.
Come here.
Aww.
Before you got here tonight, me and Natalie and Joe watched it because I T-voted on ABC Family the other day.
When we got home today, I picked up the kids and went home, and that's what we immediately put in.
Oh my God, we fucking bonded.
Yes, we did.
That's awesome. That is awesome. That was like my, like sometimes like when we're ready to do Mad Chat, you know, like I'm ready to get on the pod, and if like I've wrote out some really good jokes that week and shit, then I'm like, I gotta pump myself up, and I listen to a couple certain tunes like Bohemian Rhapsody and stuff, you know? And so I was like, okay, we're gonna do the Christmas special. It's Dustin's last episode, so let's watch Mickey. Yeah, yes. That's what we'll do. God damn it, that's what we did. There you go. And then I told my wife why I really like that one. Which is, like, totally not right, but, like, I mean, when that come out, God, 83? It was forever. I mean, it's been a staple.
1983.
It's been a staple in my childhood ever since I can remember, and, like, the thing that always got me was, like, when it's the Ghost of Christmas Future, and the coffin opens, and you see, like, the fires of hell.
Yes.
I thought that was so cool. I thought that was fucking metal. Like, as a five-year-old, I was like, I want to see the Dark Lord! Isn't that weird? So... yeah, that happened.
Now, wasn't there a version of the Christmas Carol that was done by it's like it had Scrooge McDuck in it.
Would that be Mickey's Christmas Carol?
No, I thought it was strictly, I didn't think Mickey was involved in one of them.
No, Mickey was Bob Cratchit.
Yeah, he was.
And Scrooge McDuck played Ebenezer Scrooge.
And Mickey's son was Tiny Tim.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, maybe that's one of them.
Donald Duck played Fred.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Goofy was...
Marley.
Marley.
There you go. That's fun. That was a fun one.
Yes.
I want to say that that's one for me, but it's probably not, like, the one. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I think, like, nowadays for me, at least the one, like, the two that I always watch every year is, like, Bad Santa and Christmas Vacation.
Yeah.
Because those just crack my shit up. I can't stop. And Joe, like, you know, last year was too young to really care about watching TV, so it's like, I don't know. I guess I'll have to wait and see what he's really into, what show really gets it for him. Okay, let's talk about movies set at Christmas time, guys. What are the guy Christmas movies?
Die Hard.
I made a list, and Die Hard's on it. Die Hard, and then Die Hard 2, Die Harder. right there. Yeah, both take place at Christmas time. You know, what's his face? Oh my God. John McClane's trying to get home to his family, to his wife specifically, to have a happy holiday, and fucking terrorists get in the way every time. Isn't that how it goes, Wally?
Yes, it does.
The first three I wrote down were all Shane Black movies. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, classic, Iron Man 3, and Lethal Weapon 2 all take place at Christmas time. And they all have a lot of Christmassy shit in them, too.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's a big central element. I don't know what happened to Shane Black at Christmas time that he has to make all of his movies about Christmas, but pretty good. Dustin, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm trying to think. There's the name of a movie that is slipping my mind with Arnold Schwarzenegger in it where he's trying to go get a toy for his son.
Jingle All the Way.
Jingle All the Way.
With the late Hartman and Sinbad.
That was a... cheesily entertaining movie.
that is a fun movie. He gets that super suit in the end.
Yeah,
it's kind of cool.
Yeah, I specifically remember them talking about like the snow chains on the tires.
Well, I don't remember that.
It was just a small talk conversation he had with his neighbor. I think he's like, "You gonna put some chains on those tires?" But like for whatever reason, that always stands out when I think of that movie. And I don't know why. Just little stuff.
Dude, I used to work with this chick. She moved out here from California. This is actually the bitch that got me fired from Daymar, so fuck you, lady. but before she got me fired, we were very close friends. And there was one time it iced here real bad. We had like 4 inches of ice.
Yeah.
And the job that we had at Daymar was a job that you can't call in for like that. Like it always has to run. There's always got to be somebody there to take care of the kids. So our shift started at 7:30. So I got to her house at 4 a.m. to pick her up. So we could drive there because we couldn't go fast at all. And that was her first winter out here from California, and like her mom was calling, freaking out, like, did you get chains for your tires? And it's like, we don't live in the mountains. They don't sell tire chains here, really.
No, you just have to drive 20 miles an hour.
Yeah, you just slow down. You're not going to go off the side of a mountain. Okay. I always thought that was funny. Batman Returns.
Yeah.
Classic Christmas film.
Yes.
Wally, what do you got for movies?
For movies. It is also on your list.
Okay.
And it's a mix between two great genres. You got The Holiday with Christmas and sci-fi horror, Gremlins.
Gremlins, yes.
Oh, yeah. Excellent movie.
God, the scene where the fucking gremlin's in the Christmas tree and it attacks the mom?
Yes.
That's wacky. Like, what the fuck? The whole movie's about a Christmas present that went wrong. Yeah. You know, Gizmo, voiced by Howie Mandel. Fun fact.
Oh, hey.
Yeah, there you go. What about Love Actually, I have to mention, because Natalie put it on the list without my permission. She's actually in the room right now. She's like, if you don't say this, I'm going to talk about it on Music to Your Ears. I was like, fine, I'll fucking say it. So, Love Actually. which, I mean, for the record, is not a shitty movie. It does have Liam Gigantic Cock Neeson. It does have Andrew Lincoln from The Walking Dead. You know, it's got a cast, so...
I mean, yeah. You should bring that up to Chad. I think he'll fight you on it.
Chad loves that movie.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like,
he won't fight me on it. He'll be like, you like it? You really like it? If you go back in time, there's an instant film review from last Christmas where it was me and my wife and then Chad and his wife talking about Love Actually. And I'm just sitting there the whole time drinking, just like, this fucking sucks. This movie is gay. So, It's a Wonderful Life. Another yeah. Christmas. I mean, now that is not a Christmas. Like, it's not just a Christmas movie because it takes place all throughout the year. It takes mm-hmm. place throughout the span of George.
W. Bush.
Fuck you, George.
George R. R. Martin.
Oh my God, Natalie. What's George's last name? Okay. Bailey. George Bailey.
First name.
George Bailey.
Okay.
But it takes place throughout his entire lifetime. Of course, the major setting, the major plot motion, happens on Christmas Eve. Oh, when he gets his Christmas wish, and yes. It turns out he didn't really want it. Just saying. And then the last one I wrote down was Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Because I didn't know Santa Claus was in that until I saw the movie. Spoiler, if you haven't seen The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, Chronicles of Narnia, or read the book, which for some reason I never did.
Yeah.
No. Which is really weird for me. Because I'd think that would be right up my alley with fucking witches and magic and shit. Yeah. The hero is Santa Claus, and he fights evil.
Did you mention the Home Alone movies?
Oh, my God, no. Home Alone 1 and 2.
That's all they were about.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's Home Alone another 2. One of Natalie's favorite movies. I'm surprised she didn't slip that in the list.
I liked Home Alone 2 more than Home Alone 1. Home Alone 1 was like, you know, it's like iconic, but mm-hmm. Home Alone 2 to me was just more entertaining. Like as a kid at the time, it seemed like there was a lot more like, just gadgets and stuff in it, I guess.
And tell me you didn't go home and immediately like start trying to rig things in your room.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Oh, my God. I feel so bad for the fathers of 1992. trying to go through their house in the middle of the night, like get a drink of water or something. Step on a bunch of thumbtacks.
Hot Wheels and stuff.
Yeah. Trip wires.
Micro machines.
Piping hot tar on the refrigerator handles.
Oh,
swinging
nice.
Paint cans.
That go. Would literally kill a guy, though. There's no way that wouldn't kill a guy.
Mythbusters.
Oh, man. Why does the Mythbusters do a Home Alone issue? Oh, my God. Really that'd be fucking great.
Get a hold of them.
Everybody, write in. Write in. Jamie Heineman is from Columbus, Indiana. So we've got an in, guys. They probably wouldn't do it because they're both, like, devout atheists. And mm-hmm. Christmas has, you know, the Jesus.
Speaking of that, the Jesus. Side note, today at work... they mentioned, somebody said, like, use the phrase Xmas in our, like, we have a multi-text messaging thing, so we can all, like, we're our group messaging, there we go, and somebody said Xmas, and somebody quickly responded, it's not Xmas, it's Christmas, and I was like, Jesus X, guys, we don't need to be talking about that, and nobody responded to me.
you said Jesus X, guys?
No, I said Jesus X, like Jesus Christ.
Jesus
guys.
Christ, that's funny.
Yeah,
that is funny.
Apparently, it wasn't.
Oh, boo hoo! Oh, well. You could be like, it was. No, it's like Happy Xfinity-mas, right? Because that's Comcast.
Yeah. Yeah, we can call it Christfinity.
Christfinity. I like it. Man, you need to get on the marketing team over there. We'll get Despicable Me 3 out of this shit. All right. Boy. Christmas specials, guys.
Yes. Oh, so the first one that comes to mind is going to be the Andy Griffith Show. They had a Christmas special with a guy named Ben Weaver. He owned the general store, I believe.
That was Nellie's parents. Oh, wait, I'm thinking of Little House.
Don't you even try to question me.
I'm so sorry. Show. Fuck off.
Let's see. He insisted that Andy jail Moonshiner Jim Muggins. But like, it's Christmas Eve, you know, no one wants to be in jail on Christmas Eve. So everyone, since like Andy had to jail him, everyone, you know, in Andy's family and some people from the town, they all brought Christmas presents and food into the jailhouse for Jim Muggins. And they all had like, you know, like a little Christmas feast there, and they were singing. And of course, you know, I love the Andy Griffith episodes for the music and stuff, just as much as the story. And, the whole time, Ben Weaver is trying to like peek into the jailhouse, like through the bars, you know, on the outside. And at one point, he's like pulling himself up to see in through the window, and he slips on this box that he's standing on, and there's a big crash outside. And they eventually, like one way or another, trick him into coming in, so that it's like they basically bring him into the feast, and it's just fun and Christmassy and like a nice story. But he ends up grabbing a bunch of stuff from the store and giving presents to everybody. It's heartwarming, you know, good Christmassy stuff.
I wonder if that was one of the first Christmas specials on TV. I wonder what the first Christmas special was. I feel like a guy planning a podcast about Christmas specials should have fucking looked that up ahead of time.
Let's see, 1960, if you can find one earlier than that.
I'm sure there was like a Lucy and Desi one or something. All right, no, that's a very good example of a Christmas special. I like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's the epitome of a Christmas special, if you will.
What's on your list there, Mr. Wally?
You know, you got your usuals, your Frosty the Snowman, the original. Mm-hmm. But my favorite Frosty episode special was Frosty's Winter Wonderland.
Okay.
And that is the one where all the kids build Frosty a wife.
Do they put? Do they make her a snow pussy?
I'm oh, sure man. They did.
That would just be a tease. That yes. just doesn't seem right to me. Sorry. Wow. I'm sorry. I'm looking up a list of Christmas specials from Wikipedia, and there's the TV channel every year that just plays a burning log, and it's listed as Burning Log. That's funny.
Oh, and all it is the burning log, like a fireplace?
Yeah.
Favorite Christmas special. That's my favorite. Gotta be.
Keep going, Wally. I'm sorry.
What else?
Yeah, Frosty's Winter Wonderland right there. Yes.
Frosty's Winter Wonderland. It has
a Rankin-Bass TV show, which is the classics. It's 1976 that came out.
Yes, on ABC.
Nice. Oh, and with narration provided by Andy Griffith.
Yes.
Awesome.
What do you think of them apples?
I think them apples are awesome.
Okay.
Does anyone ever answer that question?
No.
Oh, well, I just did.
What do you think of them apples? They're delicious. They're Junga Golds.
I'd cut those apples up and put them in a dessert.
They're crisp. What else you got, Chief? Oh, Muppet Family Christmas?
A Muppet's Family Christmas.
Cool.
This one I had to look up when we were sitting down, because when I was talking to Natalie, Natalie was taking dictation, and you know what she said? Dictate growth. Get it? Okay. Anyway, she was writing down the ones I was saying, and I wrote Muppet Crossover, and because I couldn't remember the name of it. Mm-hmm. And it was a 1987 TV special.
Yes.
In which the Muppets all go to Fozzie Bear's mom's house.
Yeah.
For Christmas. Like, they all get snowed in there. Like, they're all going their separate ways. They get snowed in there, and then, like, fucking Sesame Street crew gets stuck there.
Sesame Street gets stuck there, and
and then Kermit and his nephew Robin are in the basement, and they find a hole, and there's Fraggles in it. And it was all of the fucking Jim Henson, like, world.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
It's the only episode that had all of them, and it even had a cartoon short. It wasn't a cartoon short. It was, I believe they were still Muppets, the Muppet Babies were also in it in a small little part where they sang a song.
That's cool. Wait, are you not sure you're not thinking of Muppets Take Manhattan?
No, it's in this.
In the wiki?
His the only one that has all four major Muppet franchises in on one show.
There you go. I just always that really grasped my imagination as a child. Like, you would sometimes like there was a Sesame Street's Follow That Bird, where Big Bird like leaves Sesame Street, and there was the occasional like Muppet on there, or you know, the Great Muppet Caper. I think Oscar did a cameo in it.
Yeah, and they would have Kermit on there every once in a while on the Sesame Street show.
Yeah. And so that really captured my imagination as a kid. And like 1987, I was like 5 years old.
It's
like,
whoa, they're all right here.
What the hell? And I had this girlfriend in high school. I dated for a couple years, and she had this old VHS tape that she had gotten all of her favorite Disney or Christmas specials on. And like every Christmas that tape would come out and we would watch it, and like that was on there. Yeah. I was like, oh my God, I haven't seen it since, man.
Yeah, I have not. That's one I have not been able to find.
That's got to be out there somewhere. If you know where we can find the Muppet Family Christmas, holler, please, Matt at followthe.tv. You'll make a boy's Christmas, please. Let's see what else is on the old list here. We got Charlie Brown Christmas.
And so far, I haven't seen one older than 1960, so I'm going with Andy Griffiths as the oldest.
Okay, cool. I'm real surprised that there's not something from, like, Lucy and, you know, like the Lucy, was I Love Lucy, something like that.
Yeah.
They probably did something. But
that or, like, even, like, the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Yeah, something like that. Well, Dick Van Dyke was 60s, too.
He was
60s. Yeah. Lucy was, like, end of the 50s.
Well, I mean, when did like, Christmas really get popular in the United States? It was around 50s or 60s, wasn't it?
Well, it's always been popular, but, you know, I mean, like, when was it marketed like this?
Yeah, when did it become, like, the whole...
Commercial.
Yeah, commercial, yeah. There you go.
I couldn't tell you. I'm not a Christmasologist. I dropped out of out of college before I finished up my major in Christmastology.
But by looking at the list of all the animated shows, I would guess in the 60s.
Yeah. Like, I mean, the Rankin and Bass stuff, like they did Rudolph, Little Drummer Boy. They did all that stop motion animation.
Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
Classic. And then they did some of the animated stuff too, like the Frosty franchise. So, I don't know. I mean,
I'm just going to go ahead and attribute the earliest one to Andy Griffith until further notice.
Okay. I like it. You know what? I'm so proud. I'm going to check Rankin and Bass here and just make sure.
Okay.
Rankin Bass.
Don't you destroy my dreams, Matt.
When did Rudolph come out? Come on, Rankin Bass. 1964. You win.
Yes.
Look at that. That's interesting. Muppet Christmas Carol, another fun one.
Yeah.
More recent, but still fun. Michael Caine plays a great Scrooge. Good music in that one.
Yes.
Here comes Mr. Humbug. Fun stuff. Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas, another Muppet item.
Did not have that one on my list. That's another one very hard to find now.
And that's that's a retelling of the Gift of the Magi, which is the a story about a poor couple who... the man has a pocket watch with no chain, and the woman has the most beautiful hair. That's their only like real possessions in life besides each other and their love. And at Christmas time, they can't afford anything for each other. So the husband goes out and sells the watch back, sells the watch that has been in his family for like 100 years to get enough money to buy pearl combs for his wife. And she goes and sells her hair to a wig maker
for the chain,
for a watch chain. And so then they end up with these two useless gifts and a bald wife, I mean, honestly. But, yeah, it's a retelling of that, essentially, the Emmett Otter Jug Band Christmas. I have that on a tape at home somewhere. Fucking VHS, man.
Yeah, every year you couldn't really buy them, so every year you would get a blank VHS tape.
And just wait.
And wait, and you would record as many as you could fit on one tape.
We had a calendar on our fridge that, like, when the commercial would come out and be like, okay, Garfield's Christmas special is gonna be on this Thursday at 8, like, okay, we go write it down, what channel and everything, set the timer on the VCR. Yeah. God. Opus and Bill, this is a very rare one. You guys remember in the Sunday Funnies, they had a comic for a while called The Far Land, not The Far Side, or no, it was Outland. So. Outland. And it was it was a really goofy cartoon where the beings are like anthropomorphic animals, like they have human characteristics. And it was very like non sequitur humor, goofy jokes, a lot of like woe is me type shit. And it was a very adult Sunday funny. Like, you know, like when you go read the funnies, there'd be like the Prince Valiant comic, and you never read that one because that was always serious shit. And there was like Doonesbury, and like what kid reads Doonesbury? It's about the fucking, you know, Gulf War and shit. This is the other one that you would skip over. But they did a Christmas special in like 94 that was fucking hilarious, called A Wish for Wings. And it was about a penguin wanting to learn how to fly. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it was like the first time that I had seen a naughty Christmas, because it was like one of the main characters, Bill the Cat, like pukes up a hairball in the middle of it, you know, in the middle of like a beautiful speech about sharing and caring and what have you. It was the first time that like came into my mind. And then it was like, ever since then, like Christmas Vacation and Bad Santa are the best movies ever. I was trying to this past weekend. I dressed up as Santa Claus for the kids at work. And, I was like just racking my brain for like horrible things I could do. And the only thing I could figure out to do, just to see a look on a face, was I went into a gas station, bought a pack of cigarettes, and drove around in my car an extra 10 minutes smoking with the window down just so people would see me with the cigarette. That's horrible. I probably broke some child's dream doing that, but it was funny. Let's see. Garfield Christmas Special was another favorite. That was where Garfield and Odie and John Arbuckle go back to John's family's farm for Christmas. That was always a fun one. I can't think of anything else. I think I've exhausted my favorites. Dustin?
Man.
You got anything?
I don't think this is a legit one, because it was on Family Guy, the Kiss Christmas special from Family Guy.
Kiss Saves Christmas?
Yeah, Kiss Saves Christmas. I wish Classic. That was a Christmas special.
You know, me and Natalie the other day watched the SNL Christmas special.
Yeah, I couldn't sleep one night, and I saw it on SNL. And I watched that.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's classic shit, dude. Wally, any others?
The other day, I was watching Charlie Brown Christmas.
Okay.
And so I got on Wikipedia, and I was reading up on it, and it was originally on CBS, and they wanted to take out the speech Linus did about the true meaning of Christmas for Charlie Brown. And they fought for it. They said, if you take that out, the show means nothing. We might as well not air it. So they fought for it, and it got to stay in.
Well, that's fun.
And then another thing I've noticed is they send him out to go and buy a tree. Okay, so they go to a tree lot. Outdoors, while it's snowing, a tree lot that is full of nothing but steel and aluminum Christmas trees.
And I cold, think of wet that.
Outside.
With the lights.
With
wouldn't
lights,
they just all die?
A metal tree.
I guess I didn't think of that.
Huh. And to only have one
that's in their
that was
range.
An actual tree. A real live tree. It just seemed
I like how
odd
they,
to me.
I like how that became a marketing thing where like you could buy that tree now. You buy the little shitty tree.
That and the leg lamp from A Christmas Story.
There's a store at the airport that has a lot of Christmas Story paraphernalia in it. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that's one of their big sellers.
Now that you brought up airports, did you guys see the video from JetBlue Airlines, I think?
No.
There's one video going around. We'll have to post it on the page. What they did was they set up this box, right? Well, it's just like a big box with a screen on the front, and you could scan your ticket. And so as people got off of one of their flights on or maybe this was before they got on their flight, they scanned their ticket, and a video of Santa came up. But it was a guy in another room somewhere else with cameras and microphones, so he could interact with the people who just scanned their ticket. And he would say, Susan, what would you like for Christmas? She'd be like, well, I could really use some new Tupperware, you know, just kind of joking around about it. And, like, just about everybody on the flight goes through and they tell Santa what they want for Christmas. They all get on their flight, and what they do, JetBlue had tons of people who instantly, in the city where they're going to land, all these people ran out to the stores and bought the presents that the people wanted and wrapped them. And so whenever the people got off the planes and went around to the luggage area to receive their luggage coming down the line, all these presents started to come out. and they had their names on them. And of course they're unwrapping them, and they, like, you know, after their flight, they get all the presents that they asked for. Somebody, the last present they gave out, they didn't put it on the turnabout or whatever you call it. They made it kind of a bigger presentation, but a guy asked for like a 60-inch flat screen TV, and they bought it for him.
Nice.
And it actually was kind of heartwarming.
You know what would really suck though is if that airport that they were at, that guy was at, wasn't his home airport.
Oh yeah.
Like, he was actually flying out on business, not flying home.
Yeah, I'm sure you could mail it back or something, but it may be super expensive.
Yeah, Jesus, can you imagine that?
I'll have to post that video up. It's pretty heartwarming. Like, everybody, you know, as they're opening their presents, we're like tearing up. Some people ask for, like, you know, kind of stuff that they needed, and of course other people ask for just things just jokingly and laughed as they opened their presents up. But I thought that was a pretty good Christmas moment.
I feel like a complete turd because as we're sitting here, I keep remembering shit.
Yeah, that's fine.
So, okay, Christmas comes to Pac-Land. There was a Pac-Man cartoon show back in the day on the USA Cartoon Express. I remember that one. Ernest Saves Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
That was an awesome one.
The Red Green Show had some Christmas specials.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Here's one. John Denver and the Muppets, A Christmas Together. That's weird. That's really weird. Here's a Christmas Carol from 1949. Mm-hmm. A TV special.
Damn it.
So, He-Man and She-Ra, a Christmas special, where two kids from Earth get sent to Eternia, and they meet Prince Adam, and then he becomes He-Man. I remember that one. what the fuck? It was just on the list. I saw it. What was it? Scrooged. Scrooged with Bill Murray. You ever seen that one, Dustin?
I have.
That's fucking hilarious. I can't believe I fucking forgot it. So, you know what? It just proves that, like, and the Grinch. Fuck the Grinch. The Grinch who stole Christmas. Really?
And seriously. I know we're just like, this is just the tip of the iceberg. There are hundreds and hundreds of Christmas specials.
There are tons of them, guys. Tell us, what is your favorite Christmas special? What makes it the holiday season for you? Okay, is it Bugs Bunny? What is it? Is it Mickey Mouse? What brings it to you? What makes it home? What makes it Christmas? Mr. Hankey? Let me give you chocolate kisses. I can't do the voice anymore. Oh, there you go. Thank you.
Don't forget. No, I was thinking of that was Mr. Hankey, but I instantly went into thinking about Towley.
Want to get high?
Don't forget to bring your towel. Oh, shit.
There's Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas right there on the list.
I feel like Mr. Bean did a Christmas special.
I'm sure he did. There's no way he didn't. Okay,
let's put it this way.
It's not under Mr.
If you could make a Christmas special out of your favorite TV show or video game or something, what would it be?
They already did it. It's called Glee Actually. It's based on the film Love Actually. I'm just kidding.
So.
Just kidding. I hate both of those things. But no, I don't really hate both of those things. If they made a Christmas special that I wanted to see, Ghostbusters 3 would be set at Christmas time. And it would be the devil. And as they're crossing the streams to destroy the devil, Jesus comes out and he's like, it's my birthday, yo. No, I got nothing. Star Wars Christmas special is probably it. They already did mine.
Yeah.
Wolverine in a Christmas special would be pretty cool.
X-Men Christmas, that'd be pretty cool.
I feel like they've probably done that on the cartoon shows, but...
Oh, you know what? I instantly was like, they should do a pro wrestling Christmas special, but they always do. They do a Christmas special and they do like a Thanksgiving special. So, man, I would go with, like, what's that TV show that I watch with Liev Schreiber in it?
Ray Donovan? Ray Donovan?
Yeah, Ray Donovan Christmas special. I want to see what sort of heartwarming story they can come up with.
I want to see the Deadwood Christmas special. The one where Al Swearingen, you know. Nah, never mind, fuck it. That's horrible. I don't want to say it.
Okay.
You ever watch Deadwood?
No.
Then that's not funny to you. I'm sorry. A Deadwood Christmas special will be hilarious. Trust me.
Okay. Fuck. What about? Do you think they did a Cheers Christmas special?
I'm sure.
Oh, okay. This is one thing I was thinking about. It's like a Christmas special, like theme almost, where someone's on their way to like a Christmas party and they get trapped with a bunch of strangers. But on the way, you know, they like. Don't want to talk to anybody, or you know, everybody's mean to each other. But of course, when they're trapped together in the subway, they all like learn to be friends, and they make it a wonderful Christmas party with the resources that they have. That's like a typical thing. I remember Full House
did that where they were stuck in an airport.
I think Saved by the Bell might have done something like that.
Maybe.
No, but they didn't really go anywhere. They were trapped on an elevator for different show or different episode. Anyway, but yeah, that's like a regular Christmas thing. Like during Christmas time, you're probably going to get trapped somewhere, so be nice to everybody.
Tell us, guys, what's your favorite Christmas special? Tell us on Facebook, on Twitter, at matt@followthe.tv. Let us know. If we like your comment, we'll just read it on the show next week. Dustin?
What?
Give me your final stupid joke.
Oh, man, I should look one up.
Oh, you dick.
Sorry. I was deep in thought about Christmas specials. Or also playing Assassin's Creed.
Yeah. Hence why you weren't looking it up.
Okay, here we go. It's going to be a few of them, and it's not going to be nerd-related. What do you call a cat on the beach at Christmas time?
I don't know.
Sandy Claus.
Aww.
How do sheep in Mexico say Merry Christmas?
I don't know.
Feliz Navidad.
Feliz, nice.
If Santa and Mrs. Claus had a child, what would he be called?
Santa baby?
A subordinate Claus.
You know, the movie of Santa Claus, I hate because the little boy doesn't love his dad until his dad becomes Santa Claus. Just saying. Nothing else changed about his dad. His dad just became Santa Claus. Then all of a sudden he loves his dad. Fucking commercialism.
I kind of have a story about that. I dressed as Santa once a few years ago.
You're so skinny. How did you, like, did you tell the kids Santa had cancer because he loved a woman that wasn't clean?
I shoved a pillow up in my front side.
Fair enough.
We made my beard white we used white shoe polish and baby powder, a mixture of that, and it actually worked out pretty well. Kudos to Ashley. She did a great job on that. I went to – it was actually my niece's birthday party. She has a birthday in December, and my sister tries to get Santa to show up to this birthday party every year, and I was Santa. And what had happened was, like, my niece and nephew both, like, were so talkative and, like, loved me when I was Santa. I mean, they just, like, follow me around and just they wanted to have everything to do with me. And then I go after Santa is all done, I got up and I left and I shaved and my brother gave me like a high and tight and like I changed out of my Santa clothes and everything. And so I come back as Dustin. My niece and nephew didn't want to have anything to do with me. Horseshit.
Because the real meaning of Christmas is to ignore your relatives.
Yeah, they were like all hugs and kisses and lovey-dovey, and then they didn't want to have anything to do with me when I was Dustin.
That's funny. Dude, when I did the Santa thing this weekend, so because they were all kids from work, I knew all their names, and that freaked the shit out of them.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the kiddos I work with, they have an elf on the shelf, and the elf on the shelf's name is Franz. And they were telling me, the family was telling me before about where Franz has been hiding and stuff. And mm-hmm. So can you imagine you're a little boy, and you go in to meet Santa, and Santa's like, I just perpetuated the myth of the elf on the shelf. I was like, hey, Franz told me he got stuck in your sister's leg warmers. Is he okay? And the kid's face just like white as a sheet, like, because now he knows Santa's been watching, you know? It was pretty cool. Great. It was a cool moment. So
it's probably got to like warm your heart up a little bit, you know, to be able to do something like that for the kids.
It at least chiseled some of the ice off the outside of it. Speaking of which, give me a dirty joke to end this.
Okay. A dirty joke?
Yeah, give me a dirty joke.
Well, this isn't a dirty joke. Why does Scrooge love Rudolph? Because every buck is a deer to him.
Okay. Wasn't that dirty.
Okay. That wasn't a dirty joke at all. I don't know. How many babies does it take to paint a house? Depends on how hard you throw them.
Goodbye, Dustin.
Goodbye.
Take care.
Yeah. Take care now. Bye-bye then.